Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Stories from Bittersweet Farm. I'm Ken Pierpont, and this is today's Stories from Bittersweet Farm is Chapter 32 of my book, For a Few Days, Stories from a Season of Life on a Family Farm, and it's entitled Among My Books. Puttering around among my books, I spot an old book of pastoral theology passed down to me from my grandpa's modest library. I take it in hand and I turn it over a few times, enjoying the weight of it. Something about it tugs on my memory. I open it. Suddenly it comes back to me why this is a very special book. Grandpa had great eyesight. He always said that when he was in the Navy, he was tested and he told me he had rare 20/10 vision. I guess that's twice as good as 20/20 vision. This may have been one of the things that made Grandpa a skilled hunter. He was a keen observer of nature, and I'm sure the eyesight was especially helpful. Well, we were on the tractor chugging up the lane aimed at the gate to the field on top of the North Hill one midsummer day when, without speaking, he stopped the tractor and pointed to the ground. "There's a four-leaf clover right over there," he said. "And those are pretty rare. Why don't you just jump off and pick that up?" I strained my eyes. I didn't see it. "Where?" "You can't see it there. It's about 2 feet out to the right of the front tire." I couldn't see it. I noticed the wide blue sky. I saw the wispy white clouds, and I saw colorful birds that occupied the wide blue sky. I noticed the silvery ripples in the pond in the morning breeze and the glassy surface of an evening calm. I stood in quiet meditation watching how the slanting light of the sun reflected on the water in the deepening dusk. I saw the insects that skittered on the surface of the water in the evening and the circles where the bass would rise as darkness was coming on. I noticed the graceful way the maple leaves waved in the wind. I noticed how the leaves of the maples were minty green in early spring, a light pastel, and how they turned to a rich dark green in summer, and then in the short days of September began to blush with color until they displayed their full dying glory against the deep blue October sky. I noticed that. I noticed how by mid-November the wind would blow the maples bare to leave a stark pencil sketch where the month before there had been a beautiful watercolor of a tree. I noticed the feathery tassels over the corn growing in artful bands on the hillsides and the green pasture growing between the bands of corn. The symmetry, the artistry of a well-groomed hill farm always draws my attention to this day, how the crops lay like a mantle on the shoulders of the hills. I noticed the country noises and the absence of suburban sounds. There was not a highway within miles out on the farm. The nearest paved road was miles away, Martinsburg Road, and that was a lightly traveled, undulating, curving, scenic farm road. The farm was bisected by a gravel road. There were only a few houses on the road. A mail truck would pass once a day. Only a few cars passed the farm. If you were within sight of the road when a car passed, it would be a great social affront not to raise your hand and wave your hat or your hand in greeting. The locals would consider you odd and antisocial. The talk at the coffee shop would go like this. "You know, I was out past the Kalers this morning. I don't know what's gotten into him, but he didn't even look up at me." You could hear the tires on the gravel. Unless there had been a rain within a few days, a plume of dust would rise and fall after the car. And once the noise of the passing car or truck fell away, the country sounds would be amplified in the quiet. I noticed that. I noticed the lazy grazing of the cows and how they would always cluster together. And I noticed how the cows would graze over to the fence line in the east and eat away the low-hanging branches, leaving a neatly groomed appearance. For the rest of my life, I would notice when livestock or deer would trim the trees and leave the forest with a park-like grooming along the edge of the wood. I noticed those things. I noticed the pasture in spring, green as Ireland, and I noticed the bleached white of the limestone in the lane and in the two tracks over the hills. And I noticed the blue and purple paint of the hills rolling off into the distance. The cloud of condensation left by a jet thousands of feet overhead, silently streaking white across the sky. I noticed the smell of the barn, a wonderful mix of manure and hay and grease and faint exhaust from the tractor, molasses in the feed, and ancient timber aged by moisture and sun and years. The barn on a working farm has a fragrance, a beautiful perfume you can only appreciate if you cherish a few summers in the country. I noticed that. I noticed a lot of things, but Grandpa had a way of pointing out things I had overlooked. I let go of the fender and I jumped down from the drawbar where I was standing and I walked over in the direction of where he was pointing and I tried to search every inch of the ground. He throttled back the engine, took the tractor out of gear, set the brakes, let out the clutch, slowly got off, walked over, bent down, and picked up a four-leaf clover. I watched him do this more than once. He held the clover up for me to see and then he put it in the pocket of his chore coat. At first, I thought it was a prank. I thought he'd had a four-leaf clover in his pocket, and he'd do a little sleight of hand when he bent over to pick the four-leaf clover. So I expressed my doubts, and the next time, he made me look at the clover and confirm that and pick it myself and hand it to him. And when he returned to the house, he'd walk over, and he'd pick a thick book of pastoral theology, a hardcover book with green dust jacket, and he would open the book, and he'd press the clover between its pages. The book was called Pastoral Leadership by Andrew Blackwood. I've had my meetings and I've closed out my task for the day and the phone is silent and others have gone for the day and I prepare to turn off the lights and go home for supper and the church is quiet now. In the solitude of my study, I sit among my books for a few minutes, holding this old book in my hands. How long has it been? I calculate the years that have passed. It's been 40 years since we found some of the clover that were pressed between the pages of that book. The memory draws my heart back to the summers of my youth. I begin to slowly fan its pages. I'm in no hurry. There are 10 or 12 places where I find four-leaf clovers pressed between the pages. And for the first time ever, I begin to carefully turn every page of the book to see if there's anything I've overlooked in the years my grandfather's book sat on my shelf. I find an annotation. It's my dad's careful printing. This book belonged to my dad, and he'd given it to Grandpa, and then Grandpa gave it to me after Grandpa's death, knowing the significance it would hold. Inside the last few pages is something I've never seen before, a number of four-leaf clovers in a cluster, maybe 12 or 14 of them. Grandpa would die within 10 years of the afternoon we pressed the clover. A quarter of a century later, we would bury Grandma next to him in the old Wilson Cemetery, south of Chatham, just north of Newark. I would meet and marry Lois and serve pastorates in Ohio and Michigan. Our 8 children would be born. In all that busy time, this book would sit silently on my shelf, mostly unnoticed, and years would come and years would go. And this afternoon, enjoying the quiet luxury of my study, I hold the book in my hands and I feel a connection across the states and the decades to the little farm in the hills of Ohio and a rare midsummer afternoon. I have my grandpa's old chore coat. I have his last old Schofield reference Bible. I have his shotgun leaning up over in the corner. I have a set of Ellicott's commentaries that belong to him. And I have this book on pastoral leadership by Andrew Blackwood. And between its pages are little plants of green that one day grew out of the soil that lay on the hills of the old farm. Few other physical things remain. I put the book carefully back in its place. I turn off the lights and start for home with a thoughtful heart and 1,000 sacred memories. That's the story from out on Bittersweet Farm tonight, where every day's a beautiful day and a little light in the kitchen, it's always on.